So today's lesson is entitled, Keep Expecting. On the count of three, I want you to say it strong in the room and online. I want you to say, keep expecting. Here we go. One, two, three.
Keep expecting.
That's good. And so if you want to see God show up in your lives, you're going to have to keep expecting. When we stay in faith, when we stay in anticipation, and when we stay in expectation, we position ourselves for God's very best in our lives. Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles. What you expect, you will experience. Repeat after me. What I expect, I will experience. Matthew, the ninth chapter, the latter part of verse 29, says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So it is according to your faith. Mark 9 and 23 teaches us that all things are possible to them that believe. And we understand that possibilities for you and I are not defined in terms of, intellectual reasoning or human reasoning. For us, it is the ability to believe that if I can find the promise in God's word and put my faith on it, now becomes possible for my life. And it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't believe what I'm believing for, as long as I can get a hold of this word and find it and put my faith on it, it's possible in my life. Amen. And so when your faith is alive, and your faith has to be alive, it can't be dead, it can't be dormant, but your faith has to be alive. And when your faith is alive, your expectations are high. All right. When your expectation is high, God shows up in supernatural ways. That is why all throughout our ministry, we've given you those confessions to make on a daily basis. We've given you the favor confession, where you start saying policies, rules, regulations, laws are being changed and reversed on my behalf. I win battles I don't even have to fight because God fights them for me. This is the day, the set time, and the designated moment for me to experience God's favor that profusely and lavishly abound on my behalf. You got it? And then the I am confession. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. And the reason we give those to you and teach you to find some of those confessions that really speak to your heart. There's several of them. The confession of authority, confession of victory, confession of favor, confession of increase. And then for those ladies that are pregnant, there's a confession for childbearing. For those that are about to get married, there's one for you. For the married people, there's one for you. So we've got confessions that we put together. And if you'll just take those confessions and begin to speak the word of God, faith coming by. And so you need to open your mouth to speak it, because even when I do that, faith is increasing my life. Right? And so if I do that, I'll begin to see my expectation stays high, and I see God show up in supernatural ways in my life. Amen? All right. That was all my introduction. I just wanted to make sure I'm a teacher, so I wanted to make sure I break things down. So there's how many in the room think they know how many points Pastor has?
Three.
You already know how many. All right. There's 3 points. And so we're going to jump into it. So everybody say number one. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to expect joy. Expect joy, all right? Because when I'm in joy, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving in my life regardless of what's going on in my life, all right? One thing that you've always heard me say is that faith is not frustrated, all right? I just need you to hear you say it. Everybody say faith is not frustrated. So if you ever get in a moment of frustration, you get upset, and that's normal because we're carnal and that kind of thing. But the moment you find yourself getting upset and getting mad and getting frustrated, watch this. You have to open your ears to the Holy Spirit, and he'll remind you, hey, faith is not frustrating. So I've got to move from that place of frustration and get back over in faith. Because when I'm in faith, I'm in joy. I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving in my life. And the joy is not even based on where I am, you got it, but based on the expectation of where I know God is taking me, because he's already declared my end from my beginning. So regardless of what it looks like, I can have joy because it won't always be like this. You got it. My situation won't always be like this, and I won't always feel like this. If I stay in faith, God will take me from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Does that make sense? And so I have to stay in faith. Psalms, the 30th chapter, the latter part of verse 5. Watch what y'all see it on the screen, class. It says, weeping may endure for a night. Did it say for several nights? Did it say for months? Did it say for years? So why do we expect or why do we receive those things? You got, well, I guess this is just a season I'm going to be in where my anxiety is not your anxiety. And the only reason it's yours is because you keep confessing it. But the moment you stop receiving it and realize that anxiety is not my portion, it doesn't belong to me. It comes from the enemy. So I'm going to give it back to him because it's not mine. Come on, somebody. You got it? Just look at your neighbor and say, he's about to start teaching now. He's about to start teaching, all right? So no, because what happens is there's a lot of things that don't belong to you that you receive. Why am I going around talking about my anxiety or my stress levels or all those kind of things? That is not your portion. Your portion is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, regardless of anything that's going on. I'm not saying that as believers we don't go through things, because the writer teaches us in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So as a believer, even though I love God and I'm on my way to heaven on this natural earth, there are some things I'm going to go through. But the writer doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord doesn't deliver him out of some, but the Lord delivers him out of them. So what a promise that we have a God. I'm getting excited. What a promise that we have a God that makes a promise that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us, that he is going to be with us until the end. That alone is a reason to have joy. Does that make sense? That if God is with me and God is greater, and that God is with me and I cannot fail, so I don't need to lose sleep at night, because the writer says that he never slumbers, neither does he sleep. Ain't no use in both of us being up at night. I'm going to get me a good night's sleep because God's going to take care of everything for me. Now, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. All right. So joy is not based on what's happening around me, all right? But joy is based on who lives on the inside of me. So, because you got to catch this now, that joy, it's a force that strengthens your faith when life gets tough, all right? See, because what the enemy tries to do is he tries to steal your joy, right? And I want you to understand something. When he's trying to steal your joy, he's really after your strength. Because Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'll be real honest, he kind of cares about your joy, but he really cares about your strength. Because he really, see, the enemy knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. And so what he'll try to cause a situation to happen, or he'll cause all these negative thoughts to keep coming into your mind. And you got to make it up in your mind that I'm not going to be ignorant concerning Satan's devices, right? That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That I'm going to cast down every negative thought from the enemy that tries to come my way. So the moment a negative thought comes, you got a decision to make right away. Don't ponder on that thing. Don't start trying to think on that thing. You'll be on your way to your normal yearly physical. And if you don't get a normal yearly physical, everybody should get a normal yearly physical. Men and women, praise the Lord. Amen. That's a good place to clap. I ain't doing that. I'm in faith. Yeah, but the natural and the spiritual work together. Come on, somebody. And a lot of times we won't go. I don't know why the Holy Spirit's taking me this way, but let me just kind of follow this. Well, a lot of times we don't go because the enemy tries to allow fear to creep in. You're going to go and they're going to take that blood, you know, and first thing the devil tell you, you know you're scared of needles. You got it. And then when you try to overcome that, watch it. You're like, no, you know, because you don't know, you know, what's been going on. You know you've been feeling funny lately. You ain't been feeling nothing. You've been feeling fine. But that's how the enemy works in our lives. You got it? And so you got to make up in your mind, no, I'm going to the doctor. I'm going to get fully checked out. I'm going to get my physical, and it's going to be a good report in Jesus' name, because I'm already healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Come on, somebody. You got it? And that's why Pastor says everybody should have, especially men, should have life insurance just in case of faith failure. Come on now. You got it? I believe in that. You got it? Because brother man, I ain't going nowhere. He going to satisfy me with a long life and show me his salvation. But in case of faith failure, that lady's already extremely blessed. You got it? But after they was to, you know, be done celebrating me, you understand? Sister girl going to have a smile on her face, say, he is a good man. You understand? Why? Because I'm always going to make sure that I take care of my family the right way. Does that make sense? And that's, you know, come on, somebody. It don't cost that much for life insurance. No, it doesn't cost that much for life insurance. I think for $100 a month, you can get somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000 a month for $100. $100, you got. But if I was to say, you want to go to Ruth Chris on Friday, I'd be there, Pastor. But you put things in their proper priorities. My family has to be at the top. And so I'm not going anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like, you know, well, why in the world would you get it? You understand? Well, I don't plan on getting in an accident, but I have car insurance. Amen. Why wouldn't I have life insurance? You got it? And what sometimes we're so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And we have to understand the importance of the natural part, and that God wants us to take the natural, I don't know why I'm getting all in this, the natural part and the spiritual part, and put it together to bring forth the will of God for my life. And so there are times when we pray for people and supernaturally God heals them. There are times when we pray for people and we don't see the manifestation, and then they go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you just need antibiotics for 21 days. They take the 21-day antibiotics and then they're healed in their body. You understand? I don't care how you get the healing, just as long as you get healed. You got it? Well, I'm not taking that medicine, and that's up to you. But let me just tell you, if I need to take an antibiotic or whatever, a pill, whatever, I'm going, Father, I thank you before I take it, because I'm going to take it. I thank you in the name of Jesus. You got it? I curse any side effects, anything that's not like God. I thank you it will only help my body and not hurt my body. Go, 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 go. I take it in faith in Jesus' name. And I go on about my bed. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to allow any negative thoughts from the enemy to try to make me think I'm going out of here when he said in his word, he's going to satisfy me with a long life. So, but I got to do my part. Hello, somebody. If I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. That's a good place to clap right there. So I don't know how we got into all that. All right. So when you keep your joy, you keep your strength. And when you keep your strength, breakthrough cannot be stopped in your life. All right. And so you listen, we're in a season where, you know, you can't afford to get tired. That's why the writer says in Galatians, and let us not grow weary in what? Well, doing and doing good. You got it. We've been fasting. We've been praying. We've been confessing the word of the Lord. We've been sowing. Come on, somebody. So don't get weary in doing good or in well doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not or if you just don't quit. And so the enemy knows he can't whip you. So he tries to wear you out. And sometimes he will launch an all out attack on your life. And let me tell you why. Because he knows you're getting close. It is in those moments that you got to keep pressing and keep praying and keep moving forward, because you are about to see God show up in your life in amazing ways. Yes. Amen. So everybody say, expect joy. Expect joy. All right, let me give you a quick confession. Y'all know I love confessions. Repeat after me. Say, no matter what I face, I will rejoice. My joy is not tied to circumstance. It's tied to Christ. Now say, I choose joy. No matter what. Now give the Lord a big hand praise right there, all right? So expect joy. Expect joy, all right? All right, everybody say number two. All right, y'all get anything out of this? All right, expect peace. Expect peace. See, you have to be intentional in your faith. You got it, about the things you need God to do in your life. All right? And so you should expect joy and you should expect peace in your life. Isaiah 26 and 3 teaches us a great way to make sure we have peace. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who's what, class? Mine is stayed on thee. Why? Because he has faith or he trusts in thee. So we've got to make sure that our mind is stayed on the right thing and not the wrong thing. Can I get a? Amen. Because peace isn't the absence of problems, but it's the presence of God right in the middle of it. So it doesn't mean, we just talked about it, it doesn't mean that I won't go through anything, but it means that God is with me right in the middle of what I'm going through, and he is going to get me through it. That's why the writer says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to trust in him, right? Because I know that God is with me, all right? Let's go to Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to read verses 35 through 41. Jesus gets on the boat after ministering, and he tells his disciples, let's go over to the other side. A storm shows up. The disciples get restless, but Jesus didn't, all right? Why? Because Jesus operated in a level of peace, right? That he didn't let things shake him. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. So when we receive Jesus, we receive all of who he is and everything that come with him, right? And the writer teaches that he is our peace, right? And so because you've got Jesus on the inside, you got peace already on the inside. You just have to readily recognize it. Watch this. Release faith for it. And once you get hold of it, don't let anybody steal it. Does that make sense? All right, Mark 4 and 35. Mark 4 and 35, all right? It says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, what did he say unto them, class? All right, he said, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. So Jesus was in a boat, some other little boats around him. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So now water is, y'all know, it's a whole lot going on, right? Verse 38, and he, talking about Jesus, was in the hinder part, the back of the ship. Watch this. And he was asleep on a pillow. So now Jesus, I'm sure, you know, because when you sleep on a boat, you can feel that stuff still rocking, right? You got it? And so Jesus was asleep on a pillow. My father, Bishop McIver, years ago as a little boy, I heard him teaching this and really preaching this. And when he was talking about Jesus being asleep on the boat, he says, that's what you call the rest of faith. That doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what goes, that you can go to sleep no matter what's going on around you, because you can rest in the fact that God has got you covered. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake. So you don't lose sleep because you have the rest of faith, all right? And so watch what happens in verse 38. It says, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they awake him, talking about his disciples. And watch this. Now, isn't it funny? Jesus just got done ministering. Probably signs and wonders and miracles and all kind of things happened. We know he is the Christ. We know he is the Son of God. Or at least the disciples knew that at this time. But watch how quick one storm can try to show up in your life and throw everything off in your mind. The one who they knew was the Son of God. Watch this. They said, Master, carest not that we perish? Now let's back up. Did Jesus not instruct them to let's go over to the other side? Yes. So do you not realize that if Jesus opened his mouth and said, let's go over to the other side, he fully expected to go over to the other side. Right. Now these guys are saying, Jesus, number one, you don't care. And Jesus, number two, we're going to die. That's why you can't listen to everybody. That's why you got to watch the relationships that you get entangled with. That's why you have to watch the environment that you are around. That's why you can't let everybody speak into your life and lay hands on you and I see this and I see that. No, I see the word of God and what God's doing in my life. You understand what I'm saying? And so because birds of a feather, you become like who you spend time with. You need to hang around people of like precious faith. You need to hang around people that if they feel your faith getting a little low and you start talking, doubting them, and even, oh, hold on, bro. We don't talk like that. We walk by faith and not by sight. What can I pray for you for? I need somebody to lift me up if I feel like I'm getting down. Does that make sense? And so you got to watch your company, all right? And so he says, care not that we perish, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind. And notice, he didn't even respond to them. Sometimes you don't even need to respond to negativity. You got it? Why are you trying to clap back on social media all the time? It's a bad look. Everybody says it's a bad look. It's a bad. Just walk by faith and trust God, all right? But you notice, he didn't respond to them. He arose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he focuses on them. And says, after he reminds them of who he is, and he says unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? So while the disciples panicked, Jesus slept in peace. When he woke up, watch this, he spoke, peace be still, the storm obeyed. So when your mind is fixed on God's promises instead of your problems, peace now becomes your posture. Amen. Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean that things aren't happening around me, because peace isn't the absence of problems, but it's the presence of God right in the middle of what I'm going through. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. A lady and I were texting with someone the other day, encouraging them, and I dropped this in our text. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about what, class? Oh, that was okay, but let's try it again. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, don't worry about
anything.
He says, instead, pray about
everything.
If we just do that right there, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We'll be over halfway there.
Yeah.
Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Then and only then I submit to you that you will experience God's
peace,
which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. When you begin to understand this, he's teaching you to don't worry, to pray and offer thanksgiving. When you understand the commentary of that, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. You got it? And then he's talking about praying about everything. Tell God what you need. So and then thank him for all he's done. If we can live a life where in every situation, I'm not going to worry, but I'm just going to go to God and pray, and then I'm going to offer thanksgiving, I'll see God do amazing things in my life. All right. And here we go. Repeat after me. All right. Say, I choose peace,
I choose peace.
Over panic,
over panic.
Faith
over fear,
over fear.
And trust
over turmoil.
Over turmoil.
Now say, my heart
is fully anchored
in God's word.
I
live
in perfect
peace.
Now
give the Lord a big hand praise right there. All right. So don't let this word get away from you by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Amen.
But every day, expect joy, expect peace. And point number three, my last point, you got it, expect freedom. Expect freedom. Expect what, class?
Freedom.
All right. So now, John 8 and 36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you
free,
then you shall be
free indeed.
All right. And how many know he's already made us free because of what he's done on the Calvary? Right? On Calvary, right? And so when Jesus said it was finished, it was done. All right? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, gave gifts to men, made a show of them openly. He took care of every demonic force that would ever try to attack your life. You got it? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So therefore, you watch this, freedom already belongs to you. You got to learn how to just start walking in freedom. All right? All right? So because of what Jesus did, we're free from sin, we're free from sickness, we're free from disease, we're free from lack, we're free from fear, we're free from anxiety, and so on and so on. All right? Freedom is the ability to walk boldly into your God-given purpose without limitation or fear. That's what freedom is. All right? It is the ability to walk, how, class? Everybody say boldly. Yeah, so I'm not afraid, all right? I'm going to walk boldly into my God-given purpose without limitations or fear. Now, I want to give you some keys to walking in freedom. I want to give you some keys to walking in freedom. Y'all got time for that?
Yes.
Yeah, we still got time on the clock, so we're in good shape, all right? And did I give these to y'all in the back, Ellen? I can't remember. Did I give y'all the keys to, if not, then it's just stuff I added. Okay, I did, all right, because I work on my lesson until this morning, praise the Lord, all right? All right, so here we go. Number one, first key to walking in freedom is stay rooted in God's word.
Amen.
Stay rooted in God's word, all right? Now, I'm just going to look at my iPad, but a lot of us are rooted in social media and always scrolling.
Come on now.
And we'll scroll for hours in a day and hadn't opened the Bible one time. And I mean, and we even got the Bible app on the church app. So, you know, even if you don't have your physical Bible, praise the Lord, that's okay. You understand? Just open your app. You know, we have we have devotions that you can go to every single day. And it's in any subject you need help with, it's there. And then we have the 365-day Bible. And then we have different, you know, like go on a 7-day journey or a 12-day journey or a 21-day journey. And so you've got to learn how to stay rooted in God's word, because John 8 and 32 says that you shall know the truth. And like my pastor says, it's the truth that you know that's going to make you free. You got it? It's the truth. But if I don't know truth, I can't walk in freedom. See, because we know that Jesus bore our sickness and infirmity on a disease, on a tree, you got it? And healing is the children's bread. Even if my body at that current moment is not lining up with the word of God, I can still walk in freedom because I know that healing belongs to me. Does that make sense? So the enemy's greatest weapon is deception. All right. He tries to deceive you in your mind to make you think it ain't going to work and you're not healed and it's not going to happen. So the enemy's greatest weapon is deception, but God's greatest weapon is truth.
Yeah.
And truth is his word. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right? The more you fill your heart with the word, the less room there is for bondage. Number two, second one, walk in the spirit, not the flesh. Walk in the spirit, not the flesh. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 teaches us now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty or freedom, right? Okay? All of us babies that grew up in church are so used to that in the KJV, right? So there's liberty or there's freedom. True freedom isn't found in willpower, but spirit power. You got it? So when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he empowers you to break habits, conquer temptations, and walk in freedom, all right? So if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, all right? So number one, stay rooted in God's word. Number two, walk in the Spirit. And then number three, guard your mind and associations. Guard your mind and associations, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not sure he's talking to you, if he's talking to you. I'm not sure if he's talking to you. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're your second choice, but tell him, but I know he's talking to me. All right, okay. Woo. Someone said, I thought she was about to tell me he was talking to me. She better mind her own business, right? Yeah. Stay safe. Experience joy and peace. Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye, how do I renew my mind? With information and saturation. Information of the word of God, saturation to hear it over and over and over. That is why the Spirit of God told Joshua when Moses died, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Because when I get this word in me day and night and day and night, it begins to transform me. See, oh boy, if I had time. Now they want me to say, let's go home, maestro. You got it. And I say, let's go home, court, a lot. But sometimes I say, maestro, it depends on how I'm feeling. But let's go home, maestro, all right? If I had time, I would explain to you that thoughts are controlled by conversation, association, and teaching. And it's real important that you understand that because when I understand that my thoughts are controlled by conversation, association, and teaching, I start watching the conversation that I have with people, watch this, or the conversation they're having with me. Because there's sometimes, and it doesn't mean I don't love the person or anything, but we'll be talking, everything will be good, and that conversation will switch. It could switch to either doubt and negativity. It could switch to gossiping about somebody, you know, or anything. And that's when I have to have the boldness to say, I love y'all, but I ain't talking about that. I ain't about to mess up my heart. Because God's got, watch it, I need God to do way too much for me to be caught up in all that negative talk. So it's controlled by conversation. And this is, then my thoughts are controlled by association. The people who I hang out with. Show me your friends and I'll show you your life. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you where you're headed in life. And then the last thing is by teaching. And so I need to be taught the proper way so that my mind can think the proper way so I can see God do amazing things in my life. All right? And so I've got to make up my mind. What did I tell y'all earlier? That I heard the Lord say it's time to make a choice. It's to choose life so you and your seed may live. And so it's time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. So what are the things? Do y'all remember what I talked about? Permanently removing yourself from relationships you shouldn't be in. Dismissing yourself from environments that aren't healthy for you. Maybe some habits are blocking your blessings. Maybe it's some sin that's blocking your blessings. And what happens is, you're always living old. And now we thank God he gives us a brand new day with brand new mercy. But I don't want to always live in mercy lane to the degree I got to ask God to forgive me every other hour. Lord, I'm sorry for doing that. And I'm sorry. Now, and thank God he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But anytime you get caught up in habitual sin, the Bible says that what happens is it weighs on your heart. And the Bible says that if my heart condemns me, I don't have any faith or confidence towards God. So now I'm caught up in stuff, and the reason I can't get my faith to work is because I feel bad for the things that I'm doing. And watch this, the only way to get over that is stop doing the things that I'm doing. And I submit to you that Jeremiah 5 and 25 says that our sins are withholding good things from us. You know, just look at my iPad. Praise the Lord. But in case y'all didn't remember, sin is still sin. We don't need to be caught up in stuff. In case you didn't know it, fornication is still a sin. That I shouldn't be having sex outside of marriage. Praise the Lord. But he loved me. He loved you. Yes, he does. He'll forgive you. Yes, he will. Yep. I do know no man knows the time or the hour when the Son of Man shall return. I sure would, you know, hate for him to show up when you're doing the dirty. Praise the Lord. So fornication is still a sin. But this culture is so accepting of it. And people we follow. We follow people who are not married and they live together and we just love them. Oh, they're so funny. And we don't even realize that culture has been so accepting to the degree now everybody thinks that marriage is just a paper. When that is because you heard somebody on Instagram say that, but when the Bible teaches us that when two come together under the presence of God, there's a grace that comes on their life. So fornication is a sin. But I'm equal opportunity, so just let me let you know, adultery is a sin too. That if you marry, you should be having sex with your wife or your husband. You got it? And marriage is between one man and one woman. And I'm not hating and I'm not homophobic and I love everybody, but one day I got to stand before God, you got it, and got to give an account for everything that I said, and I got to be honest. I'm going to do everything in love, but I got to tell you the truth. Because I'm not really worried about you got it, but it's about me having to stand before God. And I don't want him to say, what have you done? I want him to say, well done. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it doesn't mean we can't love people. You got it. It doesn't mean we can't even be accepting of the person, but you can't be accepting of the sin. Oh, y'all got a little tight on me. You got a little tight on me. It's okay. Yeah. You know, well, my wife, she ain't giving it up. Well, y'all need to go to marriage counseling. Come on, man. I ain't doing that. Well, that's your problem. You got it. So there's help for you. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe if you treat her nice and be kind to her, and not always be so hard on her and be so mean to her. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Jesus died for his bride. But lady and I were walking down the street and we're doing our normal walk a long time ago, and some of y'all know this story, and we're walking and we just talking, and lady will tell you, when I'm walking with her, I got my head down, I'm just talking, we just having a good time. She's like, babe, something's in the bushes. I said, ain't nothing in the bushes, girl. We keep going. And then she's like, no, it's something in them bushes, right? You got it. And so that's my country girl from Georgia. You understand? That's my Georgia peach, right? And so next thing you know, we're walking this way, and a big old bear comes walking out of the wood. I mean, in front of us, but we were, what, 30, 40 feet? We're pretty close. You understand? We weren't far from Pastor Pat to about here. So we were, but the great thing is he didn't come looking at us. He didn't come looking straight. When he was walking, he was already walking in that direction, so he didn't catch our eyes. Praise the Lord. And so as soon as he did that, we froze for a moment. You got it? And then, you know, my Marine Corps skills jumped in. You understand? Born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You understand what I'm saying? Hoorah. All right? And so what happened is we turned around. And, you know, we kind of just begin to walk. So as soon as we got around the bend where I know he couldn't see it, we took off. And so I'm trying to think, what am I going to do? What do they teach us in the Marine Corps? Adapt, improvise, and overcome, right? So it was trash day. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. I said, I'm going to take lady. I'm going to pick her up. I'm going to put her in one of the trash cans, close the lid, and then I'm going to run. And that way, if he's running after us, he'll divert to me and not to her. You got it. Now I plan on being here, but if I'm not, at least she's still here to tell you the story. And she'll tell you, like, in the moment, we were real serious. That was the plan. You got it. And she's like, okay. You got it. Why? Because I'm not going to let anything happen to her because God gave her to me. And when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Where do we get off men embarrassing our wives in front of people? Where do we get off disrespecting them publicly and then disrespecting them privately at home and always dogging them down and always being so verbally abusive? But then at nighttime, you ready. She ain't ready. She aggravated. Now, and I'm equal opportunity, because sometimes that worked the other way too. Oh, you didn't think I was coming at you. You didn't think I was coming at you. Oh, he's a good man. He works hard, does his best. He's not perfect, but he's a strong man. You understand what I'm saying? And you know he's giving his best. But you can't be nagging him all the time. Praise the Lord. And don't try to make him and conform him to the person you want him to be. Let him conform into the person that God has called him to be. Because I love y'all ladies, but y'all try to make a man the way you want him quick. But he's got to conform into the image of the Father. And so when you pray for your husband, the first thing you always pray for is his heart. The thing I love about our, let's stand up, we got to go. Stand up, we got to go. The thing I love about our church is we have so many men that come to our church. And during worship, when you look around, so many men have their hands lifted up. You got it. And I've taught the men this throughout the years, that when you begin to serve God, you got it. So what happens is, so as a man, you know, when we begin to really serve God and live for God and do things God's way, it doesn't take away our masculinity, and it doesn't make us soft, because we're strong. But what it does do, brothers, is it makes our heart soft toward God. And that's why, brothers, we're able to lift our hands and we don't care about who sees us to the left or to the right. Why? Because I'm trying to be the best strong man I can be. I'm trying to work my soul salvation out with fear and trembling. I'm trying to talk to God because I know my wife needs this and the kids need that. And I'm trying to handle this in business. Or I'm trying to handle this in the job. And sometimes as a man, I just have to lift my hands and surrender to God and say, God, I give it all to you. And that's why we do what we do. Father, I thank you for this moment in time. And I bless the hearers. And I declare in the name of Jesus that they won't just be hearers of this word, but they're going to be doers of this word. I thank you, even in just these few minutes, marriages have been strengthened. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack these marriages. I curse every satanic assignment at the authority of the name of Jesus, and I command it to be halted now in Jesus' name. And so I thank you that marriage is getting gooder and gooder in Jesus' name. I pray for every single person in this room, Father, that they find godly contentment until they get married. That, Father, that you are the greatest keeper and you're keeping them in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?